Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wellness Works with Centria of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center. Today we have back with us Shalita Ashby, and she has done a wonderful job of giving us financial advice and getting us financially literate, or at least on the path to literacy over last year. So we have her back today because she's going to give us some guidelines to start the year off right that we can use, of course, during the whole course of the year. And we just need to make sure that we get our finances in order. There's so much going on right now politically that is going to or has already affected people's wallets and their bottom line. So, Shalita, hello, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful, Centria, and I wish the well the same for you and your audience here.
Thank you, and Happy New Year, because we have not spoken since that time.
That so, is correct.
Yes. So what is the first nugget you would like to share with us today? How are you going to put us in a proper mind to receive what you have for us today?
Okay, well, I'm going to take a quote from Warren Buffett about cash. He quoted that cash is not the best investment, whether assets are a better investment, because it's a better hedge against inflation. So I'd like to start on that note.
Okay. So what are assets?
Okay. Well, assets are a combination of investments, such as stocks, bonds, REITs, which are real estate investment trusts, actual real estate itself, owning property, and also to, that's it. Those are your various types of investments.
Okay. So where would you suggest the layman begin if they are a renter, let's say? They haven't taken the step to home ownership. They may be considering it, but maybe it's still a year or two out. Where would they start?
Okay, well, you want to start by first creating an immediate way to pay yourself. And if you have a job, then the best thing to do would be to begin managing how you're spending. So that means looking at your spending on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly basis. And by doing that, again, you're going to, the whole idea is to start putting away a little bit of something that you can begin using to invest in yourself. And, you know, and to begin investing in these various types of vehicles that I just mentioned. You have to be able to create cash flow for yourself.
Okay. So how much should a person be looking to contribute? Like, what's a good number to start at, or a good percentage?
Well, the ideal contribution would be 10% to yourself. But then, you know, start somewhere, whether it's a little bit or a lot, start somewhere. So I would, you know, take an inventory of what you're spending every month. Like, you know, how much do you, you know, how much of what you spend is going toward your necessities, such as rent, such as utilities, such as putting food in your mouth, insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take an inventory of the necessities that, you know, and what is left. Is there anything left? Do you have at least $15 left? Do you have at least $20 left? Whatever is left, dedicate that to an account that you will not touch.
Mm.
And as it builds, then you can begin, you know, looking at ways to, you know, start investing for, you know, for yourself and for your future.
I think that's like the maybe the most difficult part for most people, not all, but they may start, they may get the separate account, but it's that not touching it part that I see as like the biggest thing. I know for me, I'm okay with not touching mine until something happens.
Right.
And then if there is an emergency, then it's like, oh, it's an emergency. And I truly have learned at least that I won't touch anything unless it's an emergency or if it's absolutely necessary. But then that puts me right back to where I have to start all over again. So What did it take for you, or have you seen from people that you've worked with to get to that point where you not only have that separate account that you've dedicated to growth, but where it's fully established, emergency or not, that particular account does not get touched for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are some of the triggers or some of the cues that people have used to solidify that?
Well,
in your mind?
Okay. Well, if you are carefully budgeting, then withdrawing what is left out and you know, in cash, and self-disciplining yourself to only work with the cash in hand. That way you're not touching what's left in your account. That's one way of doing it. Another one is self-congratulatory, patting yourself on the back or going a whole day without, you know, without spending or without going over what you plan to spend. And you can do that by, you know, using a calendar, I mean a real calendar, and, you know, putting a star on it, a sticky, you know, it's simple, but it's a way of
it's
rewarding yourself and, you know, like recognizing yourself. Yeah, for a job well done. Yeah.
Right.
There are creative ways
And I guess the other way, too, would be by utilizing what you have available at work. So I am currently where there is a retirement fund in place. So that helps also. But I would like to contribute more. So that's the part that I'm working on, is getting to where I can really contribute what I want to contribute to what is already in place. So, but for the person who does not have that, then yeah, that would be a really good idea. That self-reward, that acknowledgement, whether it's from others or even from yourself, does go a long way in helping you to maintain your goals. So that's an awesome idea. Okay.
Absolutely.
I like what you said too,
Centria, that about contributing to your employer, you know, fund or retirement plan. I think that's awesome, because that is another place to start. The money is is deducted automatically, so that's an automatic savings. It's something that you wouldn't even miss.
Right.
Because you're then forced to work within, the means available to you. So I think that is a great way to begin paying yourself.
And then also, too, it's not readily accessible. The accessibility of these others, of the things that you create, I think is also another big part of the problem as far as oh, it's here, we can shift it. Oh, I can just put it back later. Things like that. So it not even being readily available helps as well.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And, if you are able to work with a financial planner, that is one of the advantages, too, of working with a financial planner, because they can they can be like a custodian over an account that you're dedicating toward investing. So, that is an advantage of having a financial planner.
Okay. And then the other thing, too, I was thinking of was talking about setting money aside is the fact that I even mentioned, oh, I have an emergency, so I'm going to use this money. Well, technically, shouldn't we have, a separate emergency fund anyway? So that
You should. You should have a three-month reserve emergency fund. But if you haven't begun saving at all, then you have to work toward that as well. So the whole idea is to create positive cash flow for yourself. And the way to do that is to eliminate expenses that you have. So whether it be outstanding bills, whether it be current bills that you are kind of splurging on having, that could be an expensive phone. That could be a cable bill because there are more inexpensive ways to go about, entertaining yourself in terms of how you view shows. Also, how often do you, treat yourself eating out, and how often do you treat yourself, to a movie? I'm not saying eliminate that because, you don't want to eliminate that altogether, but you want to be more strategic in how you go about, spending your money. And there are some things you can let go. You necessarily need a car note. If having a car, with a huge note, is eating into your cash flow, if you don't have a 3-month reserve, why do you have a car that you're paying expensive car notes on? So just something, I'm just saying, think about how you're spending your money and, where is it going and what are you spending it on? So those are things to really think about when taking an inventory of how you're using your money.
So you kind of want to create both. So you want to have a 3-month reserve, and then you also want to have a also be starting on your retirement plan.
Correct.
Okay.
But you may not be able to do both. You may not be able to do both. If you have a retirement plan offered by your job, then, you can do both because, that money is coming out of your paycheck and you don't see it. But if you don't have a separate retirement account from your employer and you're looking at either an IRA, individual retirement account, or if you're an entrepreneur, you're looking at some type of solo 401k or retirement account, then then that's where just making sure that you're able to just put money aside, period, comes into play.
Okay. Now, you mentioned about 10% earlier, if people had that amount to give, just to use for an illustration. So let's say a person didn't have either account going, but they did see where they had that 10% that they could grab from.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be a fair suggestion to say, okay, since I have the 10%, maybe just start both, do 5% to each until the situation, so you have at least the 3 months built up, and then focus more on the retirement at that point, and then
I mean, the point is to take baby steps. You don't have to, you don't have to leap, high bounds right out the gate. Start, taking baby steps. You are on track if you're already just beginning to take steps. And that is, again, taking an inventory of your spending. Once you've done that, begin managing and monitoring your spending on a daily basis so that you know where your money is going, okay? And as you begin to find ways or see, holes in the cheese where you can begin saving, then start putting money away. In the work that I do, because I also work in real estate sales, I've come across so many who are making six digits but have hardly anything saved at all, and they're looking to come to the table to purchase a home with no money. That baffles me, because I'm like, oh my goodness, how can you, be making six digits and not have any funds saved? I mean, you should be able to come to the table comfortably with something. So I feel that really it's a matter of taking control of your spending and just knowing where your money goes. I mean, that will empower you in a way that will be life transforming. It really will.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll begin to see money in a different light, and it will begin to change, how you spend. So, yeah.
Okay. So beyond creating your retirement and your emergency fund accounts, we talked about tracking your spending. There is a pie chart that I used to use to help me set the budgets for my household. And the thing is, when you're setting a budget for more than yourself, that's where it gets a little tricky, because you're trying to get everyone to see the big picture. And even if they understand it in theory, the actual application of the information can go by the wayside pretty fast.
Right.
Mostly because they've never been exposed to it before. And they see that it works because they've seen what you've done in the past or next to nothing. But at the same time, that wasn't enough, or that isn't enough for a full commitment. So, how would you suggest handling that situation? Like, what other visual aids, or what other information should a person look to be conveying to a household situation? They're trying to get everybody on board so that everybody can benefit and everyone can take control of their spending and have the best outcome.
Okay, so it sounds like you're referring to a married couple.
Well, it could be a married couple, and or it could just be that you have, you know, grown people in the house, but everyone's contributing to the house. Because at one point, in college, I had roommates. Well, we took on the responsibility of owning a home, so therefore we had to be on the same page as far as bills are concerned. Ironically, it was easier for me to get my roommate on board, my college roommate on board with certain things than it has been with regular family situations. But just in general, like anytime you have to do things with someone else that affects everyone in the household, how would you suggest going about that?
Oh, boy. Well, I know that, okay, you know, going into a marriage, you know, you look at it differently because you sit down with your spouse and you both plan out a financial plan together for the household, and you both work as a team toward that. I don't see why you can't take that, you know, the same principle with regards to any relationship. Whether it's you living with your sisters or you living with, you know, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, I would take that same, you know, that same approach. Sit down together, come to the table together, and create a plan together for the household. If you do it that way, you're creating something visual, something tangible that I think every party involved can relate to.
Well,
you're part of
how
family
long,
meetings, right? You know, that would be your family meeting.
Yes, I've not officially participated in an official family meeting since middle school. However, yes, and maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe it needs to be an official family meeting. But okay, so. And for people who are like, you know, I'm very time. It's ironic because I'm abstract in my doing, but when it comes to my timelines, if I have a certain timeline set, it throws me off a great deal if that timeline is not made or met. So for people like me, or people similar to me, what can we do to kind of keep us from getting too caught up into the timeline? So they say, I want to have $1,000 saved by XYZ. And then after that, I want to save an additional $500 every 2 weeks. But you know what I mean? Like... So,
but you know what, Centria, it's good to write goals. It's good to set goals for yourself. And you want to write those goals down. And you want to be very definitive in those goals and how they're set. So I wouldn't take that strategy away, even from someone who is not time conscious. If you don't write it down, chances are you're not going to achieve it. So writing it down, being able to see it visually every day, it helps motivate you. It helps keep you on track. It helps you push toward achieving whatever goal or number you set for yourself. So I will not discourage that or take that away. I think that is an excellent, excellent way to, you know, manage where you want to go, getting to where you want to go.
Okay. But going from a more of a if you don't hit the goal, if you don't hit the marks that you set, what would you suggest the person do to refocus, to reset?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't just talk to the wayside. Kind of like losing weight, you know, like, oh, I didn't hit the number, mm-hmm. okay. Am I mm-hmm. going to keep going for it?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to mm-hmm. slack off some, or am I just going to be like, forget it? You know, never say forget it. You know me well enough to know I'll never do the forget it, but but it has.
Yeah, find an accountability partner. You know, you mm-hmm. want to find someone that's going to help hold you accountable. So if you're not mm-hmm. able to work, or if you're not working with a financial advisor, if you're not able to work with a financial advisor, then find someone or find a focus group. Find someone that will help you be more accountable toward reaching your goal.
Okay.
Because we find workout partners, right, to keep us on mm-hmm. track, keep us going when we don't feel like it, or, you know, we get mm-hmm. off track. So, yeah.
So what other strategies or what other things did you have in mind to share with us today?
Okay. Well, I think that we've pretty much covered the basics
mm-hmm.
of getting started,
mm-hmm.
you know, with regards to investing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole goal is to eliminate expenses to a point where your cash flow is, you know, outnumbers your expenses. Once you've gotten to that point, you know,
mm-hmm.
then you're on your way to acquiring great wealth for yourself, wealth for your loved ones. You know, it truly is about managing what you have. If you're not able to manage what you have, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what any
mm-hmm.
financial guru say, you know, advice
mm-hmm.
a financial guru gives you, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to be able to move forward and overcome, you know, the barrier of, you know, growing financially. So I can't say any more. I can't give any more advice.
Mm-hmm.
than what I've given so far. And, again, unless you're able to take control of your spending and knowing where your money is going and work toward reducing your expenses, you're going to be in the same position over and over again.
Okay. Now, what are some of the tools that people can use to help monitor their spending and help them track their spending to give them an illustration of what's going on so that they can take better control of their finances?
Well, I would start with your bank app, because
mm-hmm.
the banks now have apps that, you know, that help you in terms of knowing where your money is going, what your spending habits are. So, you know, you can start with just by going onto your bank app on a daily basis, viewing your account.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of doing it would be maybe using an outside app, Mint. I do like to still use Mint because it does send me my alerts.
okay.
When I'm either getting close to that, you know, what I budgeted, like if I'm getting close to going over that amount, it alerts me. If I did go over that amount, it alerts me. So I think that using an app like that too would be good. Nothing wrong too with the old-fashioned way of using your book balance, you know, sheet.
Pen and paper.
Mm-hmm. But I think now that we're so adapt to technology, I like what you mentioned, Mint, M-I-N-T.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are others out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That notification piece, I think, would be really beneficial because we get notifications for everything else. And people are, you know, attracted to being notified of something.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that would.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that is pretty much the only, the only road to financial freedom and financial success is self-discipline. And without that, you're not going to be able to achieve your financial goals.
Okay.
So I do feel that having someone that you're sharing this experience with, that you're going through this, you know, this challenge or, you know, of becoming financially freedom with, can help. There are groups out there, you know, formed just to go over, you know, ways to become financial free. Just try and utilize the tools that are accessible to you and write it down. Because writing it down does help you stay focused.
Yeah, I know for me, that's one of the first things that I do. It doesn't matter if it's finances or anything else. If I had too many thoughts in my head, if I start to write, it helps everything. And like, okay, this is where I need to start, or... okay, I can't do anything about that right now. So, but I can do something about over here. So, that is a big piece of the picture. Is
hello?
Of the picture, maybe people really just don't know what's going on because they don't have a visual. They can't see it.
Right.
So, yeah. So, Shalita, if a person wanted to start their are some of the avenues they could use to start a retirement fund or to open a retirement account? Like, what are the different entities they could use to do that? Especially based off more personality, because some people like to deal with banking institutions or some of the avenues. What are some of the avenues people can take to start building their retirement?
Okay, well, you have, like you said, your banking institution. That's one way to get started with the individual retirement account. However, keep in mind that any type of IRA, individual retirement account, does limit the amount annually you can contribute. So if you're in a position to contribute more than $5,500 a year, then having an individual retirement account may not be the only type of vehicle you may want to begin investing in. I consider, if you are your own entrepreneur, a solo 401k, that does allow you to contribute more. Up to at least $49,000 a year. I know that sounds like a lot, but if you're an
That's
entrepreneur
awesome.
and as your business grows, then it allows you to contribute more to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And,
there are also
other vehicles, too, like there are insurance vehicles, too, that you can use to, invest and save for your retirement. So we have.
And what do they look like?
We have whole life policies that you mm-hmm. pay a good chunk of money into. The premiums are set, but your premiums beginning, a bulk of your premiums in the beginning, begin
mm-hmm.
paying for your life insurance long term. And
mm-hmm.
so as the policy ages, that's when it begins to grow cash for you.
Mm-hmm.
Universal life insurance policies pretty much work very similar to whole life policies in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have flexible policies, universal life policies, index policies that you're able to contribute a little bit more than the set premium amount. An example
mm-hmm.
of that would be, because it's all in how it's set up. So the policy
mm-hmm.
could be set up to give you a maximum amount that you can pay each
mm-hmm.
month, and a minimum amount. So you'll have a minimum amount. Your minimum may be $99. Your max may be $199. So it
mm-hmm.
gives you the flexibility to increase how much you pay into your policy, and that, too, builds up your cash value over time.
Okay, so I've been exposed to two policies in particular. I don't recall whether or not they were, you know, absolutely whole life or universal life, but the reps informed me that at the maturity of the policy, meaning, you know, when a term is up, if the life insurance had not been used, then the face value of that policy at that time would then become the monies in the retirement account. Like it would just convert over to being a retirement account. How common are those types of policies becoming now? And do
mm-hmm.
you see that continuing to trend that way? Because that is actually something that people who are aware that life insurance is a good thing to have, but they're concerned about, again, do I fund the life insurance or do I fund my retirement account and be essentially self-insured? But, you know, at what point? If there's an emergency, then you're
mm-hmm.
still not self-insured. So
mm-hmm.
How do you see that going? Do you see it continuing to trend that way where those types of policies, where I'm referring to the whole life and the universal life, do you see those continuing to trend more in that direction? And then all the others will just be as they are, pretty much.
Okay, no, they are trending, and they will continue to trend in that direction. There are so
mm-hmm.
many hybrid policies out here. I couldn't even begin to tell you how they all work,
mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
so many of them work differently to
mm-hmm.
accomplish the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you just described is just one of many. So,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not advocating life insurance as the only vehicle or the main vehicle for saving. I'm just putting it out there that that's another right, another vehicle in addition to.
Yeah. Right.
So
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, life insurance, its ultimate goal is to transfer wealth. That's its ultimate goal. So using it for retirement, you know, should be just something to fall back on in retirement in the event of an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that those funds are readily available. So,
okay.
Yeah. And that's why, too, you know, sitting down with someone professional and mapping out how to get all, you know, how to make all of the vehicles out there, you know, they use to save for retirement work for you and structure them in a way that, you know, will work for you in retirement.
Mm-hmm. And I think even though I've never owned one of those policies myself, I entertain it a lot because I see the value in it for people who don't have a lot coming in and they're not quite
right.
sure where to start or how to get started, but they want to do something. And then just having
right.
that one fee going out each month is at least putting them on a path. And so from that standpoint, I am fully behind a policy concept like that.
Right.
But like you said, as we get better with handling our funds, then we can start to differentiate and, you know, build a more diversified portfolio of funding sources for specific reasons. Like you said, life insurance usually is there to help create generational wealth in
right.
the instance that it's used, or at least give assistance and relief during a hard time. Positioning
right.
people to continue. So, and I just think outside the box anyway a little bit. So as you were talking about that, I instantly was thinking, well, you know, if switched over to retirement, most people that are of a lower income anyway, if they have a policy of face value of 250, they're like, okay, so 125 can be my, you know, what I can put in maybe a separate IRA now or a separate annuity account to build for the generational wealth, and because it's in a separate account, it just builds off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 125 can also be placed in a retirement account so that the person can use it for a retirement, you know, maybe get an annuity out of it, but it still can be working for them.
Right.
So that's just where my mind went as you were talking about that. If that's the course that's best for that particular individual, because everybody has to find out which course is going to be
right.
best for their situation.
Right. Well, also, too, I just want to explain again how life policies work. That face amount of your policy, that doesn't go away. And when you begin to draw down the cash in your account, you're not drawing down that face amount. The only time you would be able to draw down the face amount is for medical emergency. So most hybrid policies have set in place guidelines with regards to drawing down the face amount for that type of emergency.
And that would be a viatical settlement?
Yep.
Usually? Okay.
Yeah.
And could you explain a viatical settlement, please? Because I threw it out there, but somebody may not know what that is.
Okay. Well, in the event that you can use your policy, your face amount policy for collateral, so to speak, if, you know, for a medical emergency, I don't encourage that, but you are
right.
able to do that. And it is legal in most states. So, you know, and I don't really, well, I guess it is an ethical practice, but I don't encourage it as an ethical practice.
Mm-hmm.
But you are able to do that. Sell your policy. Some mm-hmm. use it as collateral, you know, for bank loans. Mm-hmm. Some use it as a collateral for, well, there are people out there that, you know, who will purchase your policy for cash, for less than what
mm-hmm.
the face amount is.
Right.
Just, yeah, for quick cash. So
mm-hmm.
I know that it is
mm-hmm.
an acceptable practice, but, you know, I
don't. Yeah, it's not necessarily the best venue to take. So I was just thinking about
right.
that, like somebody, yeah, they give you what you need at the time,
mm-hmm.
but they recoup, you know, what your face value is when you pass. That company
exactly.
does.
Mm-hmm.
And so
or
you
that
may
company,
have,
that person. Yep.
Yeah. So you may need 50, but you're selling 200,000 and you're losing out on 3/4 of your. That's a huge interest rate.
Yes, it is.
If you look at it from the reverse, that you're putting up for what you need at that moment.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, yes, that is truly a last resort thing, but it is good to know that it is available. So I guess the best
mm-hmm.
thing with that is you would really need to find someone who is really trying to look out for your best interest, has the highest sale rate, you know, that they will give you for your policy percentage-wise,
mm-hmm.
If you are ever in that position and truly believe that's what you need to do.
Right.
Hmm. Well, okay. man, that's a whole nother thing. I think we should come back and revisit all of that at another time because that's a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah.
And something I know about it, but I hadn't considered to that degree.
Right.
And now it's just, like, right in front of my face. It's just here.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, back to you were talking about the whole life and the universal life and with regard to retirement funding and the differences between those and what a better option may be. Before we got on the
right.
whole viatical.
Right. Exactly. And the thing is, you know, when you do begin positioning yourself to invest,
mm-hmm.
keep in mind that you do want assets that are not, you know, that would not put you in a position to really lose a lot whenever, you know, when our market is volatile. If
mm-hmm.
you're young, go for it. But if you're up there mm-hmm. in age, you want to be careful when, you know, in the investment instruments that you, you know, you seek out to begin saving at. I mean, I can't tell anyone how to invest. They can, you know, they can invest however they want. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, just remember, you want to be able to create a hedge for yourself. And the way to do that is to, you know, is to invest in vehicles that are out there that would help preserve as much capital, I mean, as much principal as possible.
Okay.
And I'm referring to bonds. I'm referring to real estate, REITs.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to make sure that you have that in your portfolio in addition to the stocks.
Okay. All righty. So, again,
and
the recap, and that was right, and precious metals, yes,
and
because and I was just going back to the beginning when you said assets over cash, and the reason is because mm-hmm. our cash is no longer backed by the precious metals like they used to be, and so that
and
is,
the dollar value changes. You know, our dollar value, right, it's not, you know, it goes up and down. So, and
mm-hmm.
what I mean by dollar value, I mean, what is it worth, you know, around the world? I mean, what is it worth
right.
internationally?
mm-hmm.
So it fluctuates. And the only way to hedge against that is to have tangible assets.
Right. Ugh. And we have sold a lot of the real estate in the U.S. to any and everybody, it seems. So it's really, I've been asking myself over the last few months, like, who owns the U.S.? When you're talking about land and real estate, like, who owns the U.S.? Do we still own us or, you know, who owns us?
You know, there's still a lot of real estate out there. There's still
right.
a lot of real estate out there to claim. Quite a
right.
bit of it still goes unclaimed. So I've heard that saying too, but you know, it's a myth. Yes,
okay.
other countries are coming and buying land, but there's still a lot out there unclaimed. There's still
mm-hmm.
a lot of opportunity investment-wise for many, you know, for us too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, doing your homework, doing your research,
mm-hmm.
and knowing who to, you know, who to speak with, who to sit
okay.
down with, who to, you know, get advice from.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it is kind of, you know. I mean, I know, like you said, it's a myth that we're outright owned by any other country, real estate-wise, but
mm-hmm.
it's something to think about because more people are renting. Like, we've become more of a renter nation, it seems, because people don't want to do the work that's required for property
mm-hmm.
upkeep anymore on their own or of their own accord. So as far as owning property goes, I see more and more people, if they want to be able to say they own any type of property, going, you know, for the condo.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that's a part of an established building. It's not a piece of individual land.
Right.
So
and
it's how
more
do
of
you get
generational,
people back
it's
to
more
you?
Of a generational gap.
Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Yep. Exactly. Yep. So it's like, how do we get people back to that, to seeing the worth in purchasing land again? I guess that's the task for the next couple of years. Get people back to seeing the need to actually own. Land on individual
right.
property that are attached to the ground. All right, Ms. Shalita, well, thank you so very, very much for coming on, sharing your time today, sharing your knowledge, sharing your wisdom. Again, I want to remind everyone, I know she didn't give a whole lot of different links, but once you pull one up, all of the others come up. So you'll have the opportunity to pick and choose which applications you like to use. I just want to remind you, she mentioned Mint.
as a way to track your spending. And that one includes notifications so you can know when you're near your limits. And then, of course, there's your local banking institution that you already bank with. A lot of them do have additional application where you can tag what you spent with what category it will fall under, so that you can get that spreadsheet or that pie quarterly, and definitely have it for the year so you can see where everything went, as a way of tracking your spending. And there are multiple entities out there that can show you how to pay down and pay off debt, that use the debt stacking method, which is one of the easier methods, I think, to paying down debt and getting your finances back on track. And then outside of that, it's just learning to say no, and that's for me. only responding to true emergencies, which means having my emergency fund always in place so I don't have to go into my regular accounts, and learning to say no to others because they need to get that discipline themselves. So thank you again, Selena, and I look forward to talking to you again. And I look forward to also knowing when you have anything coming up. So if during the course of the year you have any workshops that you would like to share with us, please do. I will post them on my page. And if you come across anything you would like to share in an open forum again, let me know, and we will set a date and have you back on.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're welcome.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. And I want to leave you guys, with a little note from Stevie Wonder today. And that is, love's need of love. We have so much going on here in Baltimore. We're trying to get a new commissioner because of the homicide rate. And then we have some schools, some charter schools that have been sentenced to closing. I think there are five of them. So the thing is, what do you do for the children? What do you do for the community? So I just want to leave you with this. Remember to love each other.
Friend is your friendly announcer. I'm serious to that on to everybody. What I'm about to say couldn't mean the world's disaster. Could change your story. To tears and pain, if that's all in need of love today. Don't delay, send your them right away. Hey, go now. Stop it, please, before it's gone too far. Oh, 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 oh. The force of evil.